KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes. My co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, couldn't be with us this morning, but we've got a great guest for you. We're excited to have Director of New Media from Fresno State Athletics, Stephen Trimbley, with us today. Hey, Stephen, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Talk about your responsibilities in the athletic department. I know you're the Sports Information Director for men's basketball, obviously an exciting season you're coming off of. So talk about just what you do for the program.
Working with our men's basketball program is an excitement every day. When it comes to working with our student athletes, our coaches and support staff, and setting up media interviews around both our local market, regionally and nationally, keeping track of our official NCAA stats and reporting those statistics to the NCAA. A lot of ways as a historian for the program, making sure that we have the right photos, the right videos, and then telling the story of our events, our student athletes, our coaches, our staff, through so many different platforms, from when it comes to social media, through our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat accounts, as well as GoBulldogs.com, and then through our Mountain West Network broadcasts. Mountain West Network is another part of my responsibilities, where we produce, usually average about a little over 200 broadcasts a year. We've done over 600 in the last 3 years. I mean, covering all 19 of our Division I sports, from our football, men's basketball, volleyball, softball, baseball, some of our more high-profile sports, but also everything from equestrian to tennis to lacrosse. We've even done golf in the past. So really managing all of those events, the production end of it, and then also being fortunate to have opportunities to tell those stories as a play-by-play or a color analyst, and then working with our conference office on different initiatives when it comes to digital media.
That's it, huh?
Just a couple things.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously busy for you. Social media is not going to slow down. The Mountain West Network's not going to slow down. But coming off the men's basketball season, 35 games, maybe you're finally getting a little bit of a breather now, although I'm sure you'd love to be heading into the Final Four this weekend with the Dogs. But talk about just that whole experience of going to the NCAA tournament this year.
The second that we got off the plane in Denver and Marvell Harris does a little dab at the top of the steps and then walks on down, it's something that we went live on Facebook with. And it's something that's just, it was just the whole excitement factor. When you walk into the Pepsi Center and you see all those NCAA first and second round signs, and walking into the arena and you see the HD board, you see the big Bulldog logo, you see all the imagery and just the, I mean, you've been expecting this stage, and we at Fresno State have been fortunate to host NCAA tournaments when it comes on the women's side at the St. Martin Center, both the first and second rounds a couple times, and then the regional in 2012, and Stanford was one of those teams. And I mean, just that stage is what our student athletes and coaches and even staff, that's what you're working towards, and you're working toward being ready for those stages. In my role working with the CBS and True TV broadcast partners, both the on-air talent and then the producers behind the scenes, of what stories we can tell and what kind of stories that if we have a chance during that broadcast to be able to highlight through, whether it's a graphic or a stat package and just a little random highlight package, or if there's something like our talking about our Italy trip, when earlier in the year we were able to get that on one of the ESPNU broadcasts when we were down at San Diego State, of just a couple of those pictures and telling what that meant to the program. And that is, it was such an important launching point for this team and this year, where a lot of times you see, oh, you're playing games from November to March, but I mean, the guys are already back getting some workouts in. Official spring workouts start on Tuesday, April 5th, and they'll continue to be working throughout the off season. Marvell this past week was working out in the North Gym, getting ready for the Portsmouth Invitational. Cesar Guerrero is out in Houston at the Final Four, going to compete in the Latin American Team Select game. So there's a lot going on in the off season, even when, oh, our games are done. But this is the time that builds for that season, and when you do get opportunities to go to places like Denver for the NCAA tournament.
You talked about your emotion a little bit and just your experience of, you know, walking into that NCAA tournament venue in Denver. Talk about, from the team's perspective, just what you observed. You know, last time Fresno State had experienced an NCAA tournament was 2001, 15 years ago. Obviously, the fans were clamoring for it. They've got to be excited. But what about the players on this team, especially those seniors who it was their last chance to go and they made it? What type of emotion did they have?
They were just soaking it up. I mean, the smiles on the guys' faces, and even just, I mean, the game before our game went into double overtime, an exciting win for Arkansas Little Rock. And right after they had won, they're coming literally right down the same hall. There's a curtain separating, and Arkansas Little Rock is running back to their locker room all excited. And our guys are like, we're going to be next. I mean, they were so focused. And it's like, as that lower seed and the chance to knock off for us what would have been a 3 seed in Utah. And, I mean, going down big, coming all the way back, retaking the lead and having it right there and having a chance is what you want in those NCAA tournament situations. And I mean, you'll talk to anybody where, I mean, yes, there's definitely a level of devastation, disappointment when your season ends and you know that you had that chance and it's not this, oh, I just got blown out. I mean, we were right in the game and had every opportunity, and it's just, shots go in, you don't get a rebound. But playing on that stage is what you want to do. And it's as great as it was to play in the College Basketball Invitational in the CBI a couple years ago, which Nevada had the chance to do as well this year, San Diego State going to Madison Square Garden for the NIT. The NCAA tournament is where you want to play. And if you have a chance to do that, it's so special. And our student athletes, coaches, myself, our staff, we'll be talking about this for the rest of our lives. And in 20, 30 years, they'll be reflecting back on what it took to get there. And it really coming together down the stretch, responding after a really disappointing effort and performance up at San Jose State. And then to go on winning 11 of your last 12 and then a 9-game win streak going into the NCAA tournament. And as part of that, winning 3 games in Las Vegas, taking down UNLV on the road, and completing a 3-game season sweep of the Rebels, which is just unheard of. I mean, the rivalry between the two programs, and then to take down a Colorado State team that has given us trouble from a matchup point of view since we've joined the Mountain West, had only beaten Colorado State one time prior to taking them down the previous week here at the Save Mart Center, and then to get the regular season champion, San Diego State, where it wasn't a cakewalk of a path to get to a Mountain West championship, and you saw that excitement, and you just saw that all that it meant to them, where, I mean, guys are crying with tears of excitement, and all that they've worked for over their years leading up to this moment, and then to be able to realize it and to be able to go up and cut down the nets and put on that hat and put on a t-shirt and be able to celebrate with your team. This is what we talk about all season long, that we can play with anybody, we can compete for a championship, and that's what they did, and they won it, and they earned that spot in the NCAA tournament and got to enjoy it. Would have loved to have stuck around for a little bit longer and kept that ride rolling, especially with Michigan State losing to Middle Tennessee, and you never know what could happen as you're making that road. Could you get to Chicago and keep that season going? But no, it was a great experience for the team, and I think it's just something that the team can build on as you go into the 2016-17 season.
Talk about cutting down the nets there in Vegas at the Mountain West tournament. You got a chance to go snip off a little piece yourself. Did you ever think you'd get the chance to do something like that in your job?
It's always in the back of your mind. Maybe if the situation's right. I mean, you've got to take care of your media responsibilities first, making sure that everybody gets their interviews and those kind of chances. But it's like, I mean, over the course of the last 8 years, you've had a lot of great moments, and you've had also a lot of really challenging moments, especially those first couple of years, and even the first couple of years with Coach Terry. I mean, every team is special. Every team is different, and you have different relationships with every individual that you're working with. But it takes everybody, and when the coaches were like, just go up and grab them, go get a little piece of the net, and I was like, I mean, of course. And it's really... it's not anything bigger than anything, but it's really a testament to everybody else. And it's I kind of got to be one of those representatives of everybody else behind the scenes, from our compliance, academics, marketing, all those kind of staff. I mean, our athletic trainer also went up. And I mean, we travel on the road. When we travel to some great places, we travel to some places that are pretty tough to get to. And we have some trips that are really exciting and wonderful. And you have other trips that are a challenge, where you're on buses or you have travel issues. And it's like, I mean, we're all in this together, and we win, we lose as a team. In some ways, at times, I've got to stay more neutral of just being that kind of administrative staff person that can report stuff to the NCAA or the conference office. But it's a moment that I'll always remember, and having the pictures and video of it to be able to watch back and I mean, I'll probably realize it even more in 10, 15, 20 years, but it's something that I appreciate, and it was an incredible experience.
What'd you do with the net?
The net is in my apartment, and I'm collecting a bunch of memorabilia as it relates to both the Mountain West Championship and the NCAA tournament, and we'll look to put it all in one kind of frame box that will be my NCAA 2016 experience that I can always look back to.
And first of many, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
And it didn't
snip off a huge piece. It was just, I wanted something that was reflective of just the experience and everything that it took to get to this point. I mean, we talk about it a lot where it's a journey, and it really is a journey. And there's no great path. I mean, it's winding, you're going all over the place. And if you really get down to it, the core, it's what you do every single day prepares you to have those opportunities. And really finding the right kinds of student athletes that can grow and develop both on and off the court. Coaching staff that is really committed to doing the right thing, even when it might be, I mean, on a short-term way that it might negatively impact you for a short period of time, but long-term, what can we do to be a champion and be a champion on that sustained success level?
Seeing that whole experience at the Mountain West tournament, the thing that struck me the most, that stuck out to me the most, was Coach Rodney Terry, right after Fresno State beat San Diego State for the tournament. An upset of sorts. Fresno State wasn't favored in the game, but not a huge upset. I mean, Fresno State went into the tournament thinking they had a good shot to win, and they did. But Coach Terry just completely choked up with emotion on TV cameras after the game. Just awesome for fans to see. What do you have to say about the job Coach Terry did this year?
I mean, he did everything to put this program in a position to have success and to compete for a championship. And Coach Terry gets to be the front guy. And a lot of time, I mean, you hear about it a lot where when you're an assistant coach, you're making suggestions. As a head coach, you're having to make that final decision. I mean, there's a lot of suggestions that you can make as an assistant coach, but it's the head coach that has to make sure that we're running this exact play or we're calling the timeout in this point of a game. But it's really a testament to the entire coaching staff of what they created as a culture. And there hasn't been a whole lot of turnover. I mean, you did have Michael Schwartz, who's now at Tulsa, that was part of the program for the first 4 years. And then KP, Coach Polino, wasn't part of the program the first year and joined in year two. Byron Jones has been here for all 5 years. And Coach Wainwright coming for the first year, going to Marquette for a couple of years, and then returning to us before this season. But, I mean, each one of those coaches brings something to the table and really, I mean, are a really part of that. When you see Coach Terry get choked up, I mean, it's everybody in this together, and that's the only way that you're going to find a way to win a championship.
Is this a turning point for the program?
I think it can be. I mean, it's really a launching point. I mean, it's something where when it takes 15 years to go back to a place that you really want to go, yeah, it's got a great opportunity to be at a launching point. There's so much excitement around the program. And you saw it down the stretch at the Save Mart Center where the crowds slowly but surely building and just that energy returning to the Save Mart Center. I mean, the Save Mart Center was a really tough place to play. I mean, Bulldogs went 16-2 at home this year, the best of any team in the Mountain West. I mean, you talk about how great of a place, and it is a great place to go watch a game, Viejas Arena down in San Diego. Really one of those kind of, really that milestone marker that you look for of trying to get to that kind of excitement. But it took them a long time to get there as well. You look at the first 6-7 years that Steve Fisher was down in San Diego, and the crowds were smaller than what you see right now at the Save Mart Center. And it took not just one NCAA tournament appearance, but multiple NCAA tournament appearances, a couple NIT appearances, for Steve Fisher to really get that buy-in for the program. But, I mean, you see where it is now. But when you look back at what it took to get there, and now with Fresno State, a great opening to the Save Mart Center, always great crowds at Sellin Arena, but really where it fell off from and the difficulty that the program had for those couple of years, and you have fans that get disenfranchised and just not as interested in the Bulldogs, and to be able to change that, changing that culture takes time, and it takes a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of hard work, not just from the coach's point of view and the student-athlete point of view, but from a marketing administration, really commitment to try to find ways that even when it's challenging, that you're continuing to do everything that you can to find a way to get this moving back in the right direction. And I think we have it moving in that right direction. And it really comes from those seniors. It comes from what Coach Terry and his coaching staff have done of building the foundation and really building this program with the opportunity to have that success as we look towards next season.
You touched on it a little bit already, but I mean, going down the stretch, winning, you know, 9 straight games to close the season, winning, was it 11 of 12?
11 of 12.
11 of your last 12. A lot of that was without some key players, without a few starters from injuries and medical issues. Talk about just what it took to keep going forward and keep winning games against tough competition in your conference without some key guys like Paul Watson, Caracciato, Torin Jones.
If you want to talk about a turning point in the season, it has to be San Jose State. And such a tough loss to the Spartans, who play hard. I mean, they really resemble this year probably some of the first year or two of Coach Terry's teams, where those teams fought and clawed, and even if they didn't necessarily have the same level of talent that they're competing against, when you really look at the athleticism point of view, they're going to give effort, and that's what San Jose State did. And, I mean, frankly, Coach Terry and the team talked about it. They didn't give that effort that night. And then you're staring down a gauntlet of playing UNLV and San Diego State at home. You do get them at home, but this can be a defining point of the season. And even with UNLV of not having Torin Jones, of Caracciato going down and getting hurt in the UNLV game and trying to match up with, I mean, now UNLV was facing some injury issues too, but they've got the athletes. You look at Ike, who competed in the College Slam Dunk Contest this week out in Houston, and just their entire roster of they can compete with anybody. I mean, they took down Indiana. They're a program that, and they really had a chance with Oregon and some other teams. But when you look at what Fresno State was able to do with its roster, it was really a next man up kind of situation. And I mean, you can also point a little bit to the Italy trip, where Sam Bittner got some extended playing time. Where Grant Schell got some extended playing time. I mean, Sam really having to fill into a role by that San Diego State game, where he was matching up against Winston Shepherd and Skylar Spencer and doing a decent job of it. And from a body standpoint, I mean, he's just so much smaller, and there's going to be times where their athleticism is going to go up there. But you're going up against what will be the regular season champion, and you're doing it as a freshman, and you're doing it undersized. And it's just that kind of play, that kind of fight, and that kind of tenacity that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to, just because I may not have the physical tools on paper to be able to compete with these guys, I've got a heart, and I'm going to play as hard as I can. And then you have the disappointment of losing at Nevada, but that's a Nevada game where Terrell Carter has a medical issue on game day, and you're down, and Paul Watson had gotten hurt earlier in that week, and you're down all of your post players. And your four post players were Cullen Russo, a stretch four, but not really a five. He can play the five at different times, but when you look at Cullen Russo, he's a stretch four, can potentially defensively, if he can start guarding the three, can play a little bit of the three, can handle the ball, where he can be that point kind of forward that you saw with Nick Duncan at Boise State. So all those kinds of elements to be able to still go into overtime on the road against a Nevada team that had nearly taken down San Diego State at Lawler Event Center and has some really talented athletes when you look at some of their, really the nucleus of both their seniors as well as some of their underclassmen. So being able to fight and having those opportunities, you've got to find a way to make plays, and it gave guys opportunities. And one guy I haven't mentioned yet, Jamel Taylor, really gave Fresno State that offensive deep threat that they didn't have early in the season. And I think it opened up some things also when he's making those shots, that it helps facilitate some of the stuff that Julian Lewis gets a little bit more of the credit as a senior, and some of his big shots. I mean, none bigger than the one against San Diego State, where he was 0 for 8 from the field through that championship game, and comes up in transition, gets the steal, and it's just like, I don't care that I'm 0 for 8. I'm just going to knock down this shot. I'm going to look in Trey Kell's eyes, have him take an extra step back, and knock down that three. And, I mean, all those kind of things, it's like it was that mindset that changed. And I don't think there was this one specific point, but it was really over the course, a launching point from that San Jose State game in early February, but really through that entire course of February, everybody getting different opportunities, having to step up. Even Sam Bittner passing up that shot late in regulation, where I would even say that it might have gotten blocked if you would have tried to take it. But there were other points at different points in other games, where even the Wyoming game, you go up big, also in February, you go up big, and then they come back and fight back. But he wasn't afraid to take shots. And it was, but you have to have those experiences to be ready for those. Paul Watson even coming in really big, especially in the San Diego State game, for the championship game, where he's an experienced postseason player being able to compete, where if you had to throw Sam Bittner in there, Sam could have done a great job. But this is a Paul Watson player that has played nearly 100 games for you. I mean, that kind of experience is irreplaceable, because you've just been there and you can be principled. You can stay to your fundamentals.
One of the things that's amazing to me, you mentioned the San Diego State game.
Which
you
one? Don't,
the San Diego State game here, the second one of the year. You know, the Bulldogs lost at San Diego State in overtime. Close game.
Great job by Cesar Guerrero at the end of that game.
Great job to hit the three by Cesar to force an overtime. The Bulldogs battled a huge foul discrepancy there. And then you come back to Fresno, play another close game, but you're down your starting center, down your starting power forward. Paul Watson gets hurt in the second half, and the Bulldogs still win that game. In a tight-knit contest, they beat the Aztecs again to win the Mountain West Tournament Championship. San Diego State's really been the best program in the state of California, arguably, for the past several years. And now the Bulldogs have won three of the past four against the Aztecs. I know they had that huge streak of winning how many games against California opponents. I don't know if you recall the number, but
it was over 40.
Over 40 straight wins against California opponents. And then the Bulldogs beat them three out of the last four. What does that say about where this program's come in the past few years?
I mean, I think, especially with what Marvell Harrison, I'm not sure if we've even mentioned his name yet, but Marvell Harrison being the preseason Mountain West Player of the Year and then the postseason Player of the Year from the coaches, and what he able to do leadership-wise and really take games over at different points, playing well in those San Diego State games, nothing spectacular, but just doing what Marvell does best. But it really speaks to how Fresno State has... When we looked at before the season, you're picked fifth, but it was really close to third. Kind of focused a little bit more on the fact that, the media is picking us fifth. But it was eight votes away from being picked third. So you had a little bit of that expectation that you could be a top half team in the Mountain West. But I think really building and through those experiences playing in the CBI, I think the record would have been a little bit different last year if you had your full complement of players for the entire season, and not just injury issue wise, that you probably don't start 1-6 and put yourself in a really big hole to try to get to 500 if you have a couple extra pieces as you're going forward on that end of it. But I mean, you really see over the last two of the last 3 years have won at least 21 games in a season. The 25 wins this year, the third most of any Fresno State men's basketball program, two away from the 27-3 year that we talked about even just a couple years ago as just being the gold standard, going to the Sweet 16 before losing to Georgetown. But it's really slowly but surely building a program. And I think there's no better way of showing that you're really the nitty-gritty of building a program that has fallen off a little bit than to improve in conference play every single year. And that's what Fresno State has done in each of the last 4 years. The Bulldogs are one of just eight teams in the country to have a better conference record in each of the last 4 years. That's really, I mean, you can schedule however you want. If you add in guarantee money, depending on which tournaments you play in, who you're playing in non-conference, you can inflate some of that stuff with some of your win totals. But when you really look at conference play that in any place across the country is anywhere between 14 and maybe 20 plus games, but it's really that 14 to 18 range, the Mountain West being 18 now, where they don't play the true round robin with having the 11 programs. So, I mean, that is the real indicator of over the course of the years, getting better players slowly but surely. I mean, even Marvell Harris. I mean, Marvell Harris wasn't even the best recruit in his class, but each year getting better. And that's the sign of a program that is built to have success and to have opportunities to compete for championships. And this year, having that opportunity, and you don't want to let those opportunities slip away. let it slip away back in 2014, where when you're playing Siena, you really have a chance to go win a postseason tournament, and it's good experience. When you had another chance to go win a championship, this time a conference championship in the Mountain West, which is more important when you really look at what you want to do and where you want to be as a program, because it gets you to the NCAA tournament, that sustained success, and that's what's important, and that's where this program is and is heading.
Speaking of Marvell Harris, obviously the Mountain West Player of the Year. He's a guy who was here for 4 years, got a lot of significant playing time early on, part of building this program back up, passed Melvin Eli as the school's all-time leading scorer this year. I mean, just a huge accomplishment for him personally, and obviously it was helping the team as well. But like you said, winning year after year for four straight years, more games in conference when you're playing essentially the same group of opponents, obviously not a streak that can go on forever, because at some point you're going to win enough games in conference where you're sort of topping out. But Fresno State's got a lot of pieces coming back next year. Talk a little bit about what's expected next year. You lose Marvell Harris, you lose Cesar Guerrero, your point guard, you lose Julian Lewis, who was another huge piece going down the stretch with the scoring threat he became, you know, that last handful of games. But what's coming back next year that you think the Dogs will lean on?
Well, talking first about our returners that played significant minutes, you've got Caracciato, who will be a senior. He's another player that has improved each year. I mean, he was always an athlete from his first year of being able to go up and out jump just about anybody. But physically, he's gotten his body, continued to get his body better. And even though he's a little bit shorter than most centers, I mean, he can play the 4-2, but has kind of more slipped more into the center role just because he can play a little bit more principled. So, I mean, he's coming back, great rebounder, great offensive player, can hit that baseline jumper from 12, 14 feet, and has done a pretty good job of that. And it just gives you that energy and a great ambassador for our program and really connects with our fans. And then when you look at Cullen Russo, his continued development of continuing to give it every day, continuing to work hard, continuing to grow and expand his skills, but another really talented player. I mean, a player that was important for that 9-game win streak to close out the season heading into the NCAA tournament. Then you look at some of the guards, Jamel Taylor, who played quite a bit in the second half of the season, wasn't eligible until after the fall semester as he had to sit out being a transfer from Washington. But his three-point threat, what he can continue to develop on defense and adding other elements that he can add as a driver in addition to what he does as a shooter. Sam Bittner's continued development. But then when you really look at some of the other guys who were sitting out this year, Jerron Hopkins, a really talented player that a lot of Bulldog fans haven't seen play much. I've seen him in practice and some workouts and other things. That, I mean, he's not a guy that is going to replace Marvell Harris. You don't replace the all-time leading scorer in school history with one player. But there's a lot of things that he does that will help fill some of those roles. And but he handles the ball incredibly well, sees the court well in transition, explosive, can attack the basket, another good shooter, can continue to improve on his shooting. But he's a player to watch that has played at a Power 5 institution and a Pac-12 program and has that experience, and he'll bring that. And so excited to see him on the floor. And then you've got Deshaun Taylor, who's another just a really strong guard that is really a combo 1-2, but can play both positions. He's more of a two guard, but he's more of that driver, will put his head down and get in your face on defense. So those are a couple of players really to watch. And then obviously we've got Bryson Williams, a local incoming freshman from Roosevelt, and what he can bring to the table as somebody, a Valley guy, playing for a program that he wants to play for.
It's an exciting time heading into the season. You mentioned Hopkins, who transferred from Colorado. Deshaun Taylor had been practicing with the team as well this year.
From UMKC.
UMKC, Missouri, Kansas City. And then you've got Paul Watson, who I don't even think we talked about yet. Another guy like Marvell Harris, who's going to head into his fourth year here, his fourth year as a starter, essentially. That's a guy with a lot of games under his belt and with a lot of talent. And what do you see Watson bringing to the team?
Paul Watson is, during his Fresno State career, has played both the 3 and the 4, played more of the 4 early in his career, played the kind of a stretch 4 out of necessity as a freshman. And that was the year that he was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year, and was part of that team that was one of the last 6 teams playing in the country when he came up just a little bit short and finishing as the runner-up in the CBI. But his continued development, he's added a couple of things to his game, more than a couple of things, but some of the things to highlight of really being able to attack the basket a little bit better. His mindset and focus is really on rebounding, and it's like, if you don't score the ball, it's okay. Just go and rebound the ball. The scoring will come. But he's another guy that in transition and in the offense, a great spot-up three-point shooter that can knock down shots and stretch out a defense. But he's slid more to the three this year. I'm really wanting to play that three, and he's a longer, I mean, being 6'7", and a wide wingspan that causes matchup problems for teams when Paul Watson is playing the three, and not as many, per se, matchup problems when he's playing the four. So when he slides down to the three, it's something that teams have to include as part of their scouting report.
With the 6'6" Caracciato next year, 6'9" Colin Russo, 6'6", 6'5" Paul Watson. You know,
we also haven't mentioned Terrell Carter.
We haven't mentioned Carter.
6'10". And
6'10".
This offseason, it's going to be critical for him because he was a great player at different times throughout the year, but it's that really being able to change his body.
And he shot darn near 60% this year.
Yeah, he shot near 60%, and at times it was closer to 70%. And, I mean, now most of his shots, he's not taking anything that isn't inside 4 or 5 feet or basically a layup. But he's an efficient player when he attacks the basket and body-wise can match up on some guys. And did a good job with Steven Zimmerman, who's likely going to be – he'll be an NBA draft pick, but a potential mid to late first-round NBA draft pick.
So when you've got a guy like Paul Watson, 6'7" at the small forward, Jerron Hopkins from Colorado, you can put at 6'6" at shooting guard. And then depending on who's playing point guard, I mean, we're going to have a lot of height with the Bulldogs next year. That could change the dynamic defensively that the team's offering. I mean, more like a San Diego State look maybe.
And that's,
with the wingspan.
That's something that, I mean, when Coach Terry was looking at how he wanted to build the program, San Diego State was one of his model. I mean, he knew that to be able to compete with the best, that we have to model our program in a lot of ways. Now, it's not an identical clone, but in a lot of ways, we're matching what they have. And what they have were great athletes, longer, taller, explosive players, but also with that defensive mindset that San Diego State is perfectly content with winning games 56-55, or in our neighborhood, 58-57 was just a fine score for our victory over them in early February. So, I mean, it's at times, yeah. I mean, you look down the stretch, the amount of times that we were close to 90 points or over 80 points in those last four games, then we'll kind of go from there.
All right, Steven, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for recapping the Bulldogs basketball season. We'd love to have you back on and talk more about what's coming next year and get some of that excitement built back up.
Well, of course, thank you for having us, and we're excited to be part of this program.
Thanks again to Stephen Trimbley for being with us today, and thanks for joining us this morning. Please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.